Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is one of the most listened to topics we discuss on this program. It is also one of the most difficult and often most emotional. Child support, you may pay it or you may receive it or not. Either way, you probably have questions about it. Well, August is Child Support Awareness Month, and we have experts from the District of Columbia and Maryland joining us to talk about this issue. We were unable to secure a representative from Virginia. My guests are Samantha Phillips Chester. She is director of Prince George's County's Child Support Office. Also, Star Granby Collins, who is chief of policy with DC Child Support Services. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As always, we will continue to take your phone calls even after 7:30. And if you have difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your call. Samantha and Star, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So let me first pose this question. A lot of people see child support as complex, as difficult. Why, Samantha, is that?
Well, there's a two parts to it. One is the law, and then the other part is the emotions. A lot of times in child support, unfortunately, you're dealing with a relationship that could have ended in an adversarial way. So you have a lot of emotions about money and the financial security of a child. The second part is the law. A lot of lay people are not really knowledgeable on the process, just the legal process on how to apply for services, why we need to determine paternity, a support order agreement, and to enforce that support order agreement. So sometimes it's very difficult to educate the public or have a thorough understanding of the law. And then coupled with emotions, that causes a lot of frustration in navigating through child support.
Star, in the district, how is child support calculated?
You know, that is a great question, and thank you for asking it. But first, I'd like to take 2 seconds to tell you a little bit about what we do at the D.C. Office of Attorney General.
We will get to that in a minute. I'm going to let Harold ask you the question. How is child support calculated?
Well, we have something called the D.C. Child Support Guidelines. Each state has a guideline calculator, and it is based upon income. And that's very, very important to realize and to understand. So that means if you make $20,000 a year, we put your income, the paying parent's income, and the parent who's receiving the income, we put it in one bucket, and then it's this complicated calculator, and it spits out an order that you're supposed to pay. But it is based upon your income, and it's supposed to be the right size, and you should be able to afford it. If you cannot, that is one thing I want you all to get from us. Call us, and we can help you.
You said something interesting, which goes back to the first question I asked Samantha. You said it's a complicated formula. Why is it complicated?
It's complicated because we want to take into consideration all of the different variables. For example, if you're paying for daycare, we want you to get a credit, right? If you're paying for dental bills, we want you to get a credit. But here's the thing that's really, really good. It is something that I like to consider to be unbiased because the number is the number. Mm-hmm. And it's a great tool that can be used. And if you cannot afford it, again, talk to us. We have lots of mechanisms that we can use to help you afford your order of support.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So for someone who believes they cannot afford it, what are those mechanisms?
Well, this is Child Support Awareness Month. If you cannot afford it and you've lost your job, we're having a career fair on this Thursday, August 22nd, starting at 10 p.m. at our offices at 441 4th Street. Bring your resume. We can help. We're also going to be making business cards for you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We're also going to be making business cards for you. And we can also, you know, rerun the guidelines. If you've lost your job, the $20,000 that we plugged in the first instance is now plugged in at zero. Your order can be as low as $75 a month. And if the court decides, it can actually go down to zero. So child support, again, is based, it's based on income.
And for Prince George's County, two things that we would like to emphasize for Child Support Awareness Month, the driver's license suspension. We're having an amnesty program for the month of August. So if you needed your driver's license because it's going to be suspended or it has been suspended, we're asking non-custodial parents, you can pay your court ordered support plus $5 for the arrears, not your compliance balance, because you have accrued non-payment of arrears. We will release the suspension off your driver's license. Also, it will give non-custodial parents an opportunity to come into our office to review their child support order so that we can work towards right-sizing it. It's an application process in Prince George's County. It's an administrative initial process where, meaning, they do not have to pay a court fee. And I want to emphasize that to come into the office to fill out our application, to provide the necessary documentation for us to review in order to file to right size that order. So that's what we're trying to emphasize for August for Child Support Awareness Month.
You said something that I thought was also interesting, because there are a lot of our listeners out there that are very, very familiar with the process, whether it's easy for them or difficult. But for those who aren't, let's talk about a little child support 101. You mentioned custodial versus non-custodial parents. Give me some definitions, Samantha.
The custodial parent, or now we're leaning towards a custodial party, is the person who actually has physical custody of that child. And it could be depending on the order, the length of time, but the majority of the time that the child is with that parent is defined as the custodial parent or custodial party. And of course, the reverse is non-custodial parent or non-custodial party is the person that does not have that physical custody for the majority of the time. So those are the two definitions between them.
Star, outside of the event that's coming up on Thursday, are there other tools to help non-custodial parents deal with some of the pressures that may come with paying child support?
Absolutely. We have two dedicated specialists that help our non-custodial parents, or what we like to call them is the parent who has the obligation to pay support. We help them find jobs. Last year, we through this program, we generated over $160,000 that we probably would not have had they not been in our job program. So we've got two dedicated people there who can help you, connect you with resources, help you find out what your passion is. Mr. Stevenson, under the direction of Angelisa Young, he meets with these men every single Friday, and it's typically men. And during these conversations, they talk about some of the frustrations that they're having. So at first, we help kind of you address those soft skills, you know, that you might be lacking, or some of them, you know, might be just frustrated. And so they can come into this safe space. They can discuss, you know, some of their dreams, some of their hurts. And then based on that, he'll meet with you privately and discuss, you know, what your educational background is. And he's not just going to help you find a job. We help place men in careers. And so we're very proud of the work that we do.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about child support today, whether you are required to pay it, whether you think that you will, if a child is perhaps on the way, if you are a parent with a child or children who is not receiving it and believes that he or she should, or if you are receiving it, all things related to child support tonight. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Let's go to James, calling from Maryland. James, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I do have a question regarding child support payment. I am the non-custodian parent, and because I fall under the high salary bracket, I'm paying child support way above the guideline, but the mother of the kids doesn't work, and I've confirmed that some of the money that I'm giving for child support is being used for other things than child support. Is there guidance that can be provided to readjust the money that I'm paying based on what is the money being used for outside of the kids?
Two things. First of all, Samantha, he talked about paying way above the guidelines. What does that mean?
Honestly, I can't even answer that because I really need to look at his order and actually rerun those guidelines to see.
Well, what are the guidelines?
The guidelines is what Star was speaking of, and that is they took his income and her income at the time they were creating that order of support and came up with the number. So they could have been materials changes in circumstances between the time that he had this order to now. So I cannot speak to above the guidelines because I would have to see it myself to make, you know, to give him a more well-informed answer. However, we get this question of quite frequently as to the custodial party is not using the child support money as that non-custodial parent thinks it should be used for. And the answer that we can provide in the Office of Child Support is you really have to go back to your courts. You have to go back and file a motion with the courts to either reevaluate your child support order, and it goes beyond that, even reevaluating custody, visitation. You have to kind of go back to the courts to have that discussion. Unfortunately, the Office of Child Support's function is to secure paternity, now make a guideline for a support order, ensure that you're paying on that support order, and if there's any arrearages, to ensure that you're paying on those arrears. So that's kind of beyond our scope when it comes to what the money is used for, unfortunately.
And to that point, Star, can it be determined at the time of an order what the money is spent for as it relates to the child? Because I think that's what he's talking about. It may be, okay, he may expect that child support, that money is spent on clothes, food, housing, but if the mother gets a flat tire, if she's working or what have you, or not, and she uses, you know, the money that he has given her to replace a tire, is that an issue?
You know, that's a great question, and we hear it often.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, we can't speak to the specifics of this case, but what I can say is that the average order of support throughout the nation is somewhere between $150 and $200 a month. Studies have shown that this literally lifts children out of poverty. We are talking about the difference between a child having a warm coat in the winter. We're talking about the difference between a child having something in their stomach while they're taking a test so that they can perform well. So typically, generally, what we're talking about is an anti-poverty measure. Now, of course, there might be some instances where the court might need to look closer at your order of support.
And the court would look at that, not child support.
Correct.
Well, you could call us, and we're happy to also review it. But, you know, last I checked, daycare is what, about $1,500 a month per child in the District of Columbia? So even if you have a higher order of support, you know, the custodial parent is typically the person who's paying the rent, who's paying daycare, who's paying medical expenses. And even if you're sending her up as high as $2,000 a month, with all of the expenses in the household, studies have shown that custodial parents are typically still paying a larger amount. And that is just the fact.
James, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're having a conversation about child support tonight. All questions that you may have, give us a call. Tony, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
A couple things. One, I wanted to know, I guess, about passports, because I was told that if I owe, this is in the state of Maryland, if I owe more than $2,500, I guess my passport is denied, or is the renewal of my passport denied? I guess I wanted to find out about that first. But also, the only reason I'm in arrear is because a decision was made without me being there.
What decision was made without you being where?
I pretty much found out that I had a child support case and that I was actually in arrears all at once, all at the same time. I never knew of a court date. I never knew of anything.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Samantha, please, since you're in Maryland.
Okay. So two parts. So let me address your passport question. So the policy states that if your arrears gets to, and I'm going to make it as layman's terms as possible, $2,500, the state will certify you with passport suspension, meaning that if you $2,500, you would need to pay those arrearages in full in order to get the suspension lifted off of your passport.
How long does something like that take if he just writes a check for $2,500?
Immediately.
Okay.
So there are exceptions to that rule. You know, there are you need your passport for work, or the arrearages, as he spoke to earlier, were incorrect, that he shouldn't have been certified in the first place, things of that nature. And, of course, a lot of those our suspension policies do have exceptions. So, again, if you have an arrearage and your passport and is over $2,500, more than likely your passport is certified. Now, there was previous misconceptions where, that if I pay it down to below $2,500, I can get my passport lifted, and that's incorrect. The rule of thumb is to pay those arrears in full. Now, in terms of, what was his other question again?
His other question was about not knowing that he had a child support order, but I need you to hold that point because I need to take a break. So I'm going to ask that he continue to listen after the break. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're also going to talk to Kevin, calling from Maryland, Lisa from Maryland, Denise, also from Waldorf, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. And if you're having difficulty getting through, as always, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And don't forget the podcast will be on WHUR.com, as well as all information regarding this conversation after 8:30. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about child support, having all of your questions answered tonight, whether you are paying it, whether you are receiving it. My guests are Samantha Phillips Chester. She is director of Prince George's County's Child Support Office. Also, Star Granby Collins. She is chief of policy with D.C. Child Support Services. We were trying to get someone to come in from Virginia. We were unable to secure an official in that regard. But if you have questions, perhaps there may be some general questions that they may be able to answer. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we go back to the phones, Samantha, you were answering a question for Tony. He was saying that he did not know that he had a child support offer or order, rather, that this was established when he was not there. Not clear about what that means, but you may have an idea.
It's all about service. So let's just break it down on service. If there's a complaint filed for child support, what we are obligated to do under the law is to give the other party notice. So it could be a variety of ways. If one party lives in Maryland, and for example, one party lives in D.C., I would have to serve them probably by certified mail. So that means that when you got that piece of that complaint, that summons, that notice in the mail, somebody would have to sign for it. Another way to serve or to provide notice is through sheriff or process server. So somebody would have came to your door, and somebody of age and what they say, age and experience and mental capacity.
What does that mean? Are we talking about a 16-year-old? Are we talking about an 18-year-old?
Well, we're not going to get too deep in the law because there's some precedents, and you correct me if I'm wrong. You could be 16 and still have the mind, body, the, you know, the,
but
the mentality.
But we should, because I think it's important. If a sheriff's deputy comes to your door and you have a 15-year-old child who answers the door, how would that server know whether or not that person is competent to receive a legal document?
Well,
like
I know they do ask for ID, and you just correct me if I'm wrong. The process servers or the sheriff would also have IDs, because what they have to do is when they serve that paperwork, they have to attest in a document and an affidavit to say, I served Samantha Phillips Chester. This is her age. This is her height, weight, what, you know, my ID, and I served these documents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just touching the person necessarily with paperwork.
That's important.
That they have to provide some identification, and they have to accept that service. So somebody could have, you know, again, without looking at his case, somebody could have accepted
or rejected.
You're right. They could have accepted notice,
mm-hmm.
or unfortunately, some people do not read their mail, or something else could have happened. But notice, if there was proper notice given, it was recorded in the courts, and a person is obligated to show up based on whatever hearing date that they have. And if they have record that you have notice and you do not show up to court, sometimes it may result in a default judgment.
I see.
Meaning that they're going to make the decision whether you are there or not. So if he has those concerns and he feels that notice wasn't proper, he really needs to go back to the courts or seek counsel to review how he was served.
Lots to think about there. Thank you so much. Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Denise calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Denise. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question. My ex-husband lost his job like 5-6 years ago, so I haven't gotten payment since then. But now his health is failing, and he's over 50. He's almost 55. So he's trying to get disability, because now because of his health, he can't really work anymore.
So what's your question?
My question is, can I still get my child support even though my children are grown and once he starts getting disability?
So you're saying that he is
was in the rears.
Right. He was in arrears.
Right.
When he lost his job.
Yeah. No, he lost his job and then became in the rears.
Ah, okay.
And
that's an important distinction.
Was underage, yes.
Okay. And so you suspect that he will be soon getting disability?
Eventually he'll be getting the disability. And I was wondering if do I have to do something in order to get my arrears child support from,
okay, let me see,
out of that check.
Who wants it? Well, she's in Maryland, Samantha. You want to try to tackle that?
I guess so. Without looking at your case and seeing where it is in terms of the years that he has been with non-payment of child support, typically with Social Security disability, if he files a Social Security disability claim and it is approved, we're able to garnish from that Social Security disability. So, but again, he has to be approved. And I try to emphasize that because people sometimes have the misconception to say, oh, he filed, I'm going to, you know, instantly receive a benefit, but it's not the case. So if he's applying and he's successful and they determine that he is unable to work, then he may be on SSDI. Mm. And we'll be able to garnish
him. Now, because she said something interesting, she said that he was not in arrears until he lost his job. So does that make a difference?
It makes a difference when it comes to that material change in circumstances, just going back to modification, that it would have been to the non-custodial parent and the custodial parent's benefit to go back into court to right size that order so that he would not have all of those arrearages
before it went into arrears.
Correct.
At this point, it's strictly prohibited by federal and state law to do some sort of modification to the arrears, which is why it's very important that you come and talk to us
before the child demands me.
Yes.
There you go. Denise, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, what is a modification, Star?
A modification is where there's some sort of change in circumstances, whether it's because you've become incarcerated. And just so you know, my attorneys, we file these motions to suspend when people are incarcerated. We're not required to do it, but we do it because we understand that if you cannot pay, it doesn't benefit us. So we'll file to suspend your order of support, or if you don't have any assets.
It's only for incarceration?
No, but that's one of the things where we would actually go on ahead and take it upon ourselves to file these motions. That's something that our Attorney General, Carl Racine, is passionate about. That's something that I do under the direction of my director, Bernida A. Rice. So it's something that we do and that we push.
Let's assume that you're not in jail.
If you're not in jail, okay, that is something you can call our office. We are happy to review your case. Or you can go to the Superior Court. There is a self-help center there. They will help you file your motion to modify your order of support if you feel like you cannot afford it. Again, child support is based on income. And throughout the nation, we are looking for right-sized orders. It doesn't benefit us if you cannot afford your order. And that's what we really want to push. We want you to be able to afford your order of support, because if you can't, arrears ticking up, they don't benefit my agency.
And it shows that non-custodial parties that are comfortable with paying on their child support are more willing to pay on their child support on a regular basis, and they don't see it as a detriment or a negative connotation.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I need some help in trying to figure something out for my daughter. She filed a paternity and child support case back in March of 2018 in Maryland at the Prince George's office. And when she did that, she gave my grandson's father's address, and they verified that he was getting mail there. When the server went there to serve him, his mother said that she didn't want to get involved. So they couldn't serve him. And then he became incarcerated, and my daughter gave the information to what jail he was in. The server went there to serve him in jail. However, they had already released him. So my question is, I'm just trying to understand why they can't find him where he is incarcerated now, if he's still in the system.
Is he still incarcerated?
She said he was
released.
He was released and then he returned.
He was in Baltimore County, and they verified that. When they went to serve him,
he had already been released.
He had been released to another institution. So he's still incarcerated. So we're just trying to figure out. My daughter has been back to court 3 or 4 times. She received something in the mail from the Office of Child Support saying that they had closed the case because something like it was less than $500 or something. So,
Hold on, Lisa, before we get way, way down in the weeds, and because we've got a lot of people who are trying to get in. So the bottom line is she can't find him. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Bottom line.
Okay.
So I will talk about the our locate tools, and then if we can get her information later, it will, you know, we can assist her daughter in her efforts. So what we have to do, we have a series of several locate tools in our office that can attempt to locate the non-custodial parents that are otherwise are very difficult to be found. But what has been the most effective is for a custodial party to provide as many details as possible in terms of his location, especially if he's transient, you know, if he's staying at his mother's house, or he could be staying at a girlfriend's house or a friend's house. That custodial party would be the best bet into letting us know. So the more information we receive, we can pass that information on to our sheriffs to attempt service. But we have other internal locate tools that we interface with the United States Postal Service, even with phone companies. We do interface with the federal databases in order to find what is the best location. So, yes, his mother could be accepting his mail, but like I spoke to earlier, that if she does not accept service and she's like, I'm not going to accept service for my son, she's allowed to do that, and we cannot effectuate good service. So if she can please contact our office, and we will provide a more direct contact directly to my office, we can help her, and she can give us some updated information to help her locate the non-custodial parent.
I'm going to ask that our producer grab her information as I move on to the next question or phone call. If we could get Lisa's information, and then we can pass that on to Samantha for after the program. But Lisa, thank you so much. Start, do you have to file for child support if a non-custodial parent is willing to provide support without going through the system?
You know, we don't force anyone to come into our office. A lot of times when they've come into our office, it's because they're at the end, you know, and they've tried to work it out and they've come in. So no, you don't have to. That's a pretty easy question answer. You don't have to. Now, if you are receiving some sort of public benefits, that's a whole nother story.
Why is that?
Because what happens is that when you're receiving public assistance or welfare, that parent, because it's assumed that, you know, this child needs support, and the government wants to, I don't want to use the word recoup, the government wants to get some of the money back that they're paying on behalf of the child. Now, here's the good thing. In the District of Columbia, if you are paying support for a child that's receiving public assistance or welfare, you'd be happy to know that the first $150 are still going to go to the mom. So we have something called the pass-through. So these are really anti-poverty measures, and I can't push that enough. That is really how we need to look at child support.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines. Kevin calling from Maryland. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, y'all. I'm glad y'all took my call. I got two quick questions. Just want to see if you guys can help me out. I am the non-custodial parent of my daughter, and her mother has another child by another father right now, and we both fathers are paying child support. I feel like that her income is extremely higher than mine, and I'm not saying that I don't want to pay child support, but it doesn't allow me to move forward in my life to try to move forward to pay bills and just have a lifestyle. So I'm just trying to figure out how do I modify or get or ask somebody to modify my case to look at it to see if my income and her income needs to be, you know, modified to see if I can pay less to try to help myself move forward. And two, my second question was, since she is the custodial parent, is there a way for me to file taxes for my daughter every other year without having to go through the court? Or if I have to go through the court, how do I do that?
That's a really good question. Samantha, please.
Well, do you have is your case in Prince George's County?
It is in Prince George's County.
So earlier I spoke to coming into the office. to review your order and to right size it, meaning what we will do in the Temple Hills offices, you will fill out a modification packet, and what it will talk about is we talk about all the kids, even if you have children that are living in your home, your income, and what we will do is also rerun the guidelines on her income and her information to see if we can right size that order. And the only way we can do that is pretty much for you to fill out that packet, and so that we can really look into what we can do to, again, help you pay your child support and be able to have a livable wage at the same time. So the only way is, again, just to come into our office so we can do it. And I encourage it in our office because you don't have to pay a court fee and you don't have to pay to serve the party. It's more beneficial on the financial part on your end, sir, for us to do that. And to your second question again.
Was how do I allow, am I allowed to file income tax every year or every other year with my daughter, you know,
so,
in terms of, you know, getting some relief back?
So that has to be a conversation between you and the custodial party. We are, as the Office of Child Support, cannot say you should file taxes and claim your child on there. That's an agreement that you would need to have that discussion with her. And if you have any arrearages, you want to have that discussion and make sure that tax return does not get intercepted to pay on any arrearages that you have on your child. So, my answer to you is, sir, is to have that conversation with that custodial party to make that arrangement. And people between the parties make those types of arrangements all the time, and they put it in the order.
So I guess my quick question is there any way legally, if I go to court, can I file something separately from
Yes.
our child support order?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can
okay.
file whatever you want in the courts. But if you need something that you want to immortalize in writing to make sure that you have that ability to do that, yes, sir.
And yeah, Kevin,
because if we start it, I don't want her to be able to say, no, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to have something in writing so that way it can continue.
Understandable.
And Kevin, before you go, you know, what I want to tell you is thank you. In our office, we find that most parents either pay support or want to pay support. And that is how we're going to view you when you come into our office. So thank you. We know that it's hard, and we thank you for stepping up, and we appreciate that.
Okay. Kevin, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andrea calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Andrea. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. What recourse does a father have that is paying child support to an ex-wife where the kids don't see a penny of the support, some $800 a month? She's currently being garnished by some kind of federal debt, welfare fraud or SSI fraud, not sure about federal taxes. The question is, can he sue her to get the money back, or can he go to court to have the payment stopped?
So he's currently paying on back child support to her?
No, current.
So she's paying child support to his child in a child support obligation. The child has not emancipated.
No, there are eight.
Okay, so he has a child support order, but you're saying
Her income is being garnished because of some malfeasance or something of that particular nature.
So,
where the kids don't see a penny. The money is being taken out of a paycheck every 2 weeks, but the kids don't see a penny of it. So he's doing the obligation to the city or the county to pay on a regular basis, but the kids don't see a penny of the money because she's being garnished. How can you find out about that garnishment? How can you sue her to get the money back, or how can you make the payment stop?
Let me ask you this. How do you know that the children are not seeing the money, or to speak more broadly, are not being taken care of?
There's custodial custody. I think they went back to court because she wanted more money, And then it was revealed that, you know, I haven't seen any of the money. I'm not getting the money.
I guess my question is,
Andrea,
are the children being clothed, fed, and housed?
Basically, when the father gets them. The money was not being used for the children to begin with. They're paying all kinds of things that did not pertain to the children. Water bills, electricity bills, cable bills. So the money stopped.
Go ahead, Samantha.
So in terms of the Office of Child Support, only thing that we manage and monitor is the enforcement of that child support order. So if the child is 8 years old and he had an order of support for X amount of dollars, we monitor throughout the Office of Child Support money coming through the Office of Child Support through a state disbursement unit and to be dispersed to the mother. It goes back, I guess, to the overall theme in this office. If he is going back again to right-sizing the order, if it looks like her income has changed or she's, you know, that's when you have to go back to the courts. But in terms of us, and we spoke to a gentleman earlier, we cannot monitor and manage where that money is going. We're only monitoring and managing what is laid out in the court order with respect to the child support. And I know some divorce decrees talk about custody, talks about visitation, talks about I'm going to pay the orthodontist, I'm going to pay the summer camp. What the Office of Child Support monitors and regulates after a support order has been signed by the judge is child support payments coming in and child support payments being dispersed to the custodial parent. So unfortunately, we really can't address that in terms of the Office of Child Support.
Go ahead, Andrea.
Go back to court, because the children don't see the money. The money is not going to the mother's checking account. It's being garnished by some federal entity for some debt that she has related to the federal government.
That sounds like you have to go to court for that. That sounds like that would be the case. Beyond child support, that is something that would definitely have to be handled in the court. But Andrea, thank you so much for sharing with us. I need to go to the next call. Tisha calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Tisha. What's on your mind? Tisha, are you there? Guess we lost Tisha. So one of the things that was mentioned earlier, and I think this is such an important issue, Samantha, you mentioned paternity, but I want to talk to Star about that. Let us say that a couple has a child together, and for the sake of argument, the father begins to pay child support if they live apart, and he's giving the mother money and she wants to go through the system. If he is questioning paternity, what happens once they enter the system? What is the process for identifying paternity as it relates to child support and the like?
So in your fact pattern, is there already a court order of support, or is this okay?
No,
so,
she's trying to get a court order of support, and he is saying that he's questioning paternity.
Okay. So if they weren't previously married, then there's no presumption of paternity. There's no particular issue. There's no issues there if they weren't previously married.
That is now, not, as we know, that may not always be the case, but for the sake of this conversation.
Well, the reason why I'm talking is because with married parties, there is a presumption of paternity, and presumption would need to be overcome.
But which is why I'm asking, if married or not, if he believes that he is questioning paternity.
It's a lot easier if he's unmarried, okay? And that means the paternity has not been established. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, he can either request DNA testing. And actually, what's really kind of cool is D.C. for this year, cases where paternity has not been established, we're offering free paternity testing. So that can save you about $300. Come on in, and we will give you the testing. Now, if they're married, that's a whole nother question.
So how long does something like that take? Or better yet, if, as you first suggested, if a court order, a child support order has been established, and then a year later he says, and wants to question paternity, how long does that process take from the and coming into your office to establishing? And what if it turns out that the child is not his? What happens?
Well, I think that we need to distinguish between a legal father and a biological father. Okay?
I'm talking only about biological.
Okay, yeah. So if you're talking about biological, if a year later, after paternity has been established, because paternity would have to have been established in order for there to be a court order, if it's a year later, he might still be able to come into court. It depends on how paternity was established. This is very fact specific. But let's say he is outside of the period to challenge paternity.
Yeah, well, how long is that? Is being outside?
It depends. So if you do it by AOP in the District of Columbia, AOP. And that's an acknowledgement of paternity,
okay. You
have 60 days to rescind it for any reason. You know, you change your mind. I don't like the kid's nose starting to look funny. You know, you have that 60 days, right?
go ahead.
After that period, what is it in Maryland? Is it you guys don't have a period where you can challenge the vape, do you? What is your period?
AOP,
what is your period
it's
for
still
AOP?
The same. I believe it's still 60 days. You have to make that, you make the decision that I signed it, you know, under certain circumstances.
I have
and I want
one
to
minute. I need you to.
Rescind.
I've got 1 minute to have you answer that question. So what happens?
Okay. So that if you're outside of the period where you can challenge it, you can go to court and you have to show that, you know, there was some sort of reason. There was some sort of duress or fraud. There was some reason why
extraordinary circumstances
why you signed this and why genetic testing should overcome your legal obligation to this child.
Wow. Interesting.
I mean, my grandfather raised my mother, and that was not her biological father. And so there in our community in particular, you know, let's be honest, we have a lot of people who step in, you know, for children.
But I'm not talking about the folks that are stepping in who are being magnanimous. I'm talking about the people who say, and they question whether or not is this child mine, particularly if there happens to be an adversarial relationship with the mother.
And that's why currently the process is paternity is all we're already trying to establish paternity before we go down that road.
Good point. As always, I'm going to make sure that information to reach the offices of both of my guests are on our website on WHUR.com, as well as that podcast. All of that information on WHUR.com after 8:30. Samantha Phillips Chester and Star Granby Collins, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, August 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night. The Howard University.